Let's turn to God's Word in 2 Corinthians 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's that last verse that's the sermon text this evening, verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What would you think, my dear friends and fellow believers? What would you think of a mirror that when you looked into it, changed you? Maybe you're a man who's going bald as I am, and you look into that mirror and suddenly you have a full head of hair. Or you don't like the color of your hair, and so you look in the mirror and suddenly your hair is black instead of blonde, or blonde instead of brunette, or you wish that your eyes were a different color, and you look into that mirror and suddenly your eyes are the color that you've always wanted. That would be quite a mirror, wouldn't it? I think most of us would pay a great deal of money just to look once in a mirror like that. Did you know that we have that kind of a mirror? You and I? It's called here in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, a glass. That's what the Word of God is talking about here. A mirror that changes us. We would probably use the word looking glass, but the reference in the text is to a mirror. We all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The thing about that mirror, though, is that it doesn't change our physical appearance. There is no such mirror. This mirror changes us spiritually. Changes the way we think. Changes our attitudes. Changes our lives, our homes, our marriages. The way we behave on the Lord's Day changes us in every possible way spiritually. And that's the mirror that we're going to talk about this evening. That glass of which 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 speaks. We're going to talk about what that mirror is and what we see in it. We're going to talk about how that mirror changes us. And we're going to talk about the important and necessary work of the Spirit of the Lord. He uses that mirror in a wonderful way to change us. And he's the one, that's the emphasis here in the text, he's the one who makes it possible for us to look into that mirror. So changed by the glory of the Lord, by beholding his glory, that's the first point, into the image of his glory, that's the second point of tonight's sermon, and by his glorious Spirit, that's the third point of tonight's sermon. Told you, that's the Word of God here, that you and I have that kind of a mirror that changes us spiritually. Do you know what it is? You have it. Where? Do you know? This. Especially this preached is the mirror of which the Word of God is speaking here. If you read on into 2 Corinthians 4, you'll see very clearly that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel. That's our mirror. That's quite a thought. Means that when you come to church on the Lord's Day, bringing your children with you, that you're coming to look into that mirror and bringing them so that they can look into that mirror too, along with you. And that means too, of course, that the business of the minister, rather humbling in fact, is to hold up that mirror. That's his only business. When he preaches the Word of God, he's really nothing more than a mirror holder. Whenever he stands here in your pulpit to bring you the Word of God. But that's the mirror that God has given. The mirror that changes us spiritually. Minister is to hold up that mirror so that we can be changed, because nothing else ever will change us. And you and I come and sit under the preaching of the gospel so that we may be changed in every necessary way by looking into that wonderful and amazing mirror. But that mirror is a rather strange mirror. You know, everybody knows that when you look into a mirror, what you ordinarily see is your own face. And you do see that in this mirror. The Word of God talks about that in the first chapter of the book of James. It talks about a man who beholds in a glass, the same word you have here, his natural face. We see our spiritual face, especially in the law. That's what James says there in James 1. Looking into the law of liberty is like seeing your face in a mirror. But that is not what the Word of God is talking about here. The Word of God says that when you look into this mirror, you'll see your own face too. But more importantly, you see the face and the glory of Christ. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And I'm sure you say, of course, of course. When the Word is preached, that's by far and away the most important thing. That we see in the preaching of the Word, in that mirror that the minister holds up for us the glory of Christ. The glory of Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Second person of the Godhead. The glory of Christ come in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Ghost, and born of the Virgin Mary, as we confess this evening. Glorious indeed. Nothing like it in all the history of this world. God come in the flesh. The glory of Christ living a life of perfect and unswerving obedience to the will of his heavenly Father. Doing what none of us ever did or can do. Glory of Christ crucified. Because, as you know, though the crucifixion is on the one hand the story of murder and bloodshed, innocent shedding of blood, that it's nevertheless the greatest event, the most glorious thing that ever happened in the history of this world. Paul is thinking here of the glory of the resurrection, of Christ's ascension to the right hand of his heavenly Father, of his crowning to be King of kings and Lord of lords, who works all things according to his Father's good pleasure and will. It's the glory of the promise of his coming again, judge of heaven and earth and of all creatures, of you and I also. That's what you see in this mirror. Quite a mirror, isn't it? Not so much your own face. Not where the gospel is preached. But what the Apostle Paul calls the glory of the Lord. And he uses that word or that name, Lord, deliberately, because it emphasizes the fact that by his obedience, by his death, by his resurrection, by his ascension and sitting at God's right hand, and finally by his coming again, we belong to him. The grandest story ever told. The most glorious of all things, because it's what God our Father has done for our salvation. You've seen that in the mirror many, many times, haven't you? Your children too have, when the gospel is preached, caught glimpses of what Paul calls here, under the inspiration of the Spirit, glory of the Lord. And when you catch a glimpse of that, then you go away wondering, hardly able to speak of what you've seen in that mirror. Don't you? So the preaching of the Word of God, the glass, the mirror of which we read in our text, And in it, we see Christ's glory. And that is what changes us. That's what changes our thinking, changes our attitudes, changes the way we live, whether we're single or married, parents or children. It changes us. And it does, doesn't it? You don't see that change so clearly if you look back to yesterday. But if you're as old as I am and you look back over 60-some years, then you see that you're not quite the same person you once were. Oh, there's ever so much change that must still take place. But not the same. At least we ought not be. What a shame. If after 60 some years of looking in that mirror, I haven't changed at all. Changed in the way I live. Changed in the way I think. And all the rest. I think you could see that change in yourselves, but that comes from looking into this mirror. That change is described in several different ways in the passage by way of emphasizing what a remarkable thing happens to us when we look into that mirror. There's first of all that word changed. That's a word in the Greek language that we've taken over in English. It's actually the word. Some of you will recognize it from science classes. It's the word metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. We are literally, the Word of God says, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Metamorphosed into the same image. From glory to glory. Those of you who recognize that word from science classes know that that's the word we use in English to describe the change that takes place when a little worm is changed into one of the most beautiful and glorious of God's creatures. But a little worm that crawls on the ground is changed into a butterfly that flies freely in God's heavens. That's the word that the Apostle Paul uses here to describe the change that is taking place in you when you look into the preaching, into this mirror through the preaching of the Word. You are changed as that creature is changed. Perhaps even more important is the fact that that word is used in the Bible. That same word is used in the Bible to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he, who to all appearances was nothing but the poor son of a carpenter, a wandering Galilean teacher, was seen by his disciples filled with all the glory of God. He was transfigured. That's the way you must think of the Word of God here too. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are transfigured as he was in the mount with his disciples. What an amazing mirror. What an amazing thing is then the preaching of God's word, that it can work in you and I, mere dust. Such change. And not only dust, of course, but sinful dust. But that's only the first way that the Word of God describes that change, by using that very, very vivid word. You could look it up for yourself in a good concordance. But it talks too, that's the second thing here, talks too about the fact that we are changed into the same image. Do you know what that means? That means that looking into this mirror, you're changed into the likeness of Christ himself. That happens through what we call regeneration, the new birth. Through our sanctification by the Spirit, we're not just made holy when we're sanctified, but we're made holy as He is holy. And begin. It's just a beginning in this life. But begin to resemble the Son of God himself in our thinking, in our attitudes, in the way we live, in worship. Changed into the same image. I mentioned regeneration a moment ago, the new birth. You have to remember that being regenerated is not just being born again. That's all by itself an amazing thing. But regeneration is really this, that you have in you, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection life of Christ himself. And you can see that that's the beginning of this marvelous change of which the Word of God speaks. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's regeneration. Christ living in me. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That's the beginning of the change that the Spirit continues to work as he converts and sanctifies me. And that's the glory, too, of what you read here. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory. Your glory, my glory. If I have any at all, is Christ living in me. That's the from glory that the Word of God talks about. But that's only the beginning. As John says in 1 John 3, we have that. Christ living in us by the work of the Spirit. But that's only the beginning. Because, as he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Sometimes I can't even see it in myself. Certainly the ungodly can't see it. They look at me and they say, you're no different than we are. Who do you think you are to claim that you have the Son of God living in you? Doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that's the glory to which we are going. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. There it is again. We shall see him as he is. Even these vile bodies, Paul says in Philippians, will be changed into the likeness of his most glorious body. So that with body and soul for all eternity, I resemble in some small creaturely way my Savior, and through him the God of my salvation. Changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's almost as though the Apostle Paul can't find enough words to describe this change. But that, by the grace and loving kindness of the God of our salvation, is what is happening to you and to your children. It will be complete someday when you're in heaven. And I want to emphasize that too this evening. That comes about through the preaching of the gospel and by seeing in the preaching of the gospel the glory of Christ. And I want to emphasize that because when we look at ourselves and see how we need to change as married persons, as parents, and who's going to say, I don't need to change? Who dares to say that? When we look at ourselves and see how much we need to change, that sometimes we want a quick effects. And so we go to the local Christian bookstore and buy a book about being a Christian husband or a Christian wife or a Christian parent, or buy a book for our children to read to help them. And there's nothing wrong with those books. Many of them are full of good advice and very helpful. But don't ever forget that it's not those books that will change you. There is only one thing that can change you and me. That's seeing, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That's why the minister, when he preaches the word, is to make absolutely sure that no matter what passage he preaches on, he preaches Christ and him crucified. That's why you, if the minister doesn't do that, and I think every minister needs that kind of a reminder, why you are obligated to say to whoever preaches the gospel in this congregation, to say to him what the Greeks said, those Gentiles said, when they came to Philip a few days before Jesus was crucified and said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I've preached in a few churches where those words were actually on a little plaque on the pulpit. A wonderful reminder to whoever is preaching in that congregation that there is but one thing that changes us and saves us, and that's the glory of the Lord. I want to emphasize that too, because when things aren't going so well in a congregation, maybe there's division in the congregation. And you can thank God if you don't have that here. Or the people of God in a particular congregation are very worldly and not at all spiritually minded. Or there's other problems in the congregation, then it's a real temptation for the minister to start laying down the law to the congregation. You must. And even forget all about preaching Christ crucified. Now don't get me wrong, the law, not just the law of Moses, but all the regulations and rules that are found in the Word of God have to be preached. And we have to be told, either in the public preaching or when the elders bring us the Word, You must behave better as a husband. You must do a better job of looking after your children. That has to be said. But that is not what changes us. As Paul says in Romans 8, what the law could not do, God sending his Son and sending him in the likeness of sinful flesh, destroying sin in the flesh. It's Christ. Christ crucified. Christ in all his glory. Seen through faith by God's people when the gospel is preached, that changes them. Nothing else. Nothing ever else. But there's one thing more in the passage. Beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. To that, the Word of God adds, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul is emphasizing there the fact that without the work of the Spirit, even the preaching of the Word accomplishes nothing. The minister can stand in the pulpit and preach Christ crucified till he's blue in the face, but it won't change me. Not that much apart from the work of the Spirit of God. So it's really not the mirror that changes us, but seeing the glory of Christ through the sovereign and necessary operations of the Spirit of God. Spirit of the Lord, Christ's own Spirit, given to him at his ascension and poured out by him on his church and on his people. And Paul underlines that in the passage by talking about an open face. An open face is a face with no veil over it. And it's the work of the Spirit that makes it possible for us to see anything at all of the glory of Christ in that mirror. If you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that Paul is thinking about what happened at Mount Sinai. You remember how Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in God's presence? Saw the glory of the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. But when he came back down from the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face, because the children of Israel couldn't stand the blazing splendor of the glory of God as it shone from his face. But you know what Paul says? The veil was not really on Moses' face. It was on their hearts. They couldn't stand. Couldn't really see the glory of the Lord. And it is the work of the Spirit of God to take away that veil from your heart and from mine. If, unlike those Israelites, you're not only able to see the glory of the Lord in that mirror of the preaching of the Word, but delight in that, and come back always and again to see more and yet more again of the glory of the Lord. But that's because the Spirit has given you what the Word of God calls here an open face, because you do not have that veil of unbelief on your heart. And so the Word of God not only speaks here of the importance of the preaching of the Word. I want my husband to change, my wife. I want my family life to change. I need to change. Here's how that comes about. The only way in which it comes about. The Word of God reminds us of that here. Tells us why the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian believers, "We preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified." But it teaches us too to sing, to pray. The words of Psalter number 415. "Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. In thy truth thou wilt be guide. Teach me, God of my salvation. All the day for thee I bide, Lord, with eager expectation." You do that, won't you? Pray for the presence and work of the Holy Spirit, that you and your children, with open face, may see, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and be transformed into the same image. God grant it. Amen. Our God and Father, come to the end of another Lord's Day at the worship services of the day. We realize once again that we must be changed. Changed before we can see thee face to face in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Work by the preaching of the Word that change in us and in our children, for it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Forgive the sins we've committed in speaking of these high and holy things. Forgive us the sins we commit when we do not hear and take the Word of God to heart as we ought. Forgive us all our sins and bless the remaining hours of this Lord's Day. Not for our asking, but for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 29.